In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's Gospel reading, the greatest question of all questions is asked. A man came, it says, testing Jesus. So what does that mean? That means that he wasn't really wholeheartedly wanting to know. He was trying to be smart aleck a little bit. He wanted to test Jesus. But he asked the right question. Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What are we going to do to inherit eternal life? It's the most important question. And we don't ask it enough. We say, God, what can I do that you'll give me a good life in this life? God, what can I do so I can be really comfortable? God, what prayers can I say that I'll have a good job? Right? What can I say I won't get sick? The Lord says, and we can pray about all those things, of course, but the most important question is, all the time we should be thinking to Christ, what can I do to inherit eternal life? By the way, you taste eternal life in every liturgy you hear when you receive Holy Communion. It's a promise. It's a guarantee of the kingdom to come. We say thy kingdom, we taste the kingdom come now, mystically beyond time. But it's an important question that many of us need to ask. And he says, what do you think? Why do you call me good? Keep the commandments. In other words, honor your mother and father. Don't commit adultery. Follow these basic rules. And the man says, I've done it all. Since I was a kid, I've done it all. No problem. Well, the Holy Fathers are clear about this, that the man has no idea what he's talking about. St. John Chrysostom says, this guy, he's a liar. He's a full of himself with pride. He thinks he's perfected those commandments. By the way, those commandments of course, the Ten Commandments, and our Lord summing it up in two, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. It sums up all the law and the commandments. Those take a lifetime, and we're never going to get them right. So for the young man to say, I've done all that. I'm pretty good. I've done all that. The Lord says, really? Because let me show you the essence of the Christian life. People often think what he was saying is, you know, yeah, you want to be a regular Christian, kind of, just follow these rules. You want to be a really serious Christian, then do this. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, he's about to tell us the essence of the Christian life for everyone. And the commandments lead us there. He says, one thing you still lack, one thing you got to do, sell everything you have, everything. Give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Give up your treasure in this world, you'll gain treasure in heaven, and follow me with your whole life. That's an incredible word. And you might think that's just for monks and nuns. It's not. They take it very literally. St. Anthony the Great walked into the church. He heard these words and he said, he turned around, sold all he had, and went to the desert and became one of the greatest men of humble Christianity in the history of the world, whose prayers are still blessing us. He took it literally. And it's a beautiful life. If God, if you're not married, you should meditate if you can go live this life. It's the angelic life. Marriage and monasticism, these two holy pillars of salvation in the church. But for us, we live in the world. We live in the city. We're here in Salt Lake City. We have families. We have jobs. Does this apply to us? It does apply to us. In what sense? Sell all you have? Everything we have is the Lord's. Everything. Right? All the money we make, any talent you might have in your head, all these things. We're no better than the homeless man on the street. Right? We think we are in our ego and pride, but if we see that everything is God's, we're just borrowing it for a little while. Our kids aren't ours. We're just watching them for a while before they go to paradise with Christ, God willing. So everything is from the Lord. That's why for a humble Christian, tithing is easy. Giving is easy because it's all God's anyway. They see it all as a gift. But our modern world, it's mine. It's the precious. It's mine. And to give it up, ooh. So the Lord says to all Christians, sell all you have, meaning don't be attached to it. Give to the poor, meaning divest yourself, and you'll have treasure in heaven. All of us are called to put up treasure in heaven. That bank will never go bad. No one can steal from that bank. No matter what happens to you, no one can take that eternal account from you, so to speak. It's impossible. And he says, and follow me. So he says, be a total follower of me. And by the way, the Lord, that's not just for extreme weirdo Christians. That's for all of us, brothers and sisters. That's the ancient Christian life. Now, there's lots of titrations of Christianity out there that make it seem easy. Or that it's just no big deal. It's just a part of our life. You know, but really, work's more important. School's more important. Other things are more important. Well, yeah, I believe in God. This makes Christ weep. The apostles didn't say that. No, they gave their whole life. We say every day in the liturgy, if you listen to the liturgy, in the little litany, let us commend, the deacon says it, let us commit ourselves and each other and all our life to Christ our God, ourselves, each other, and all our life to Christ. And when you do this, you're gaining treasure in heaven. It is radical to be a Christian. It is different than the world. And let's not fall into a sleep of thinking we can be really trendy and cool and we can have a totally worldly life and then also have a deep spiritual life. It's not possible. What is possible is if you say, I'm going to give my whole life to Christ, this life in the church, I'm going to sacrifice this community for each other, that you will have joy in heaven. You will taste heaven every Holy Communion. You'll be looking forward after your death. You'll be petrified of it. You'll love this life. You'll love to live, as St. Paisius says, and you'll love to die. You'll not be afraid. You'll look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come, we say every liturgy. We'll live that. But are we living that? We're not. Are our kids living that? Think of this community of so many children. It's so hard for kids. Going to school, can they talk about Christ? You think they talk about virtue? Not very often. The biggest thing is about the new music or the new fad or this person's looks or that person's looks and this person's ego and that person. And think about it. If they're at school all day and then they're watching TV all day and they go to church once or twice a week, impossible. It has to be radical, brothers and sisters, for you first. They have to see you standing in front of your icons. They have to see you praying, see you on your knees, see that you love fasting. They have to see that you're reading your gospel, that you take fasting seriously, that you love Christ, and you give everything. What happened in the gospel today? Did the man say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. You're my life. What happened to this man? He says, sell all you have, treasure in heaven, and follow me. What did he say? The man became sad because he was very rich. He was more attached to worldly goods than he was to the greatest rich, which is the Lord. There's no greater treasure than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is paradise. The fathers say, wherever Christ is, if you're with him, that's paradise. Right? We can be in paradise all the time if he's the kingdom of heaven within us. And he was sad and more attached to worldly riches, and he went away. He walked away from Christ. And the disciples were shocked. And what did he say? How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. That's all of us. How hard is it for those who are so attached? It's hard. It's not going to be automatic. You're baptized, you do it. But if you're still attached, dying will be terrible to you. You'll be like, I don't want to let go. I've seen it as a priest, people are dying. But those who let go now, they're thankful for the gifts of God. They're thankful for their job, for their homes, their family. But it's all God's, and they've let go. And they're really focusing on treasure in heaven. He says, they said, how can somebody be saved? This is so hard according to the world. And Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Don't look at the church like a worldly organization. Don't apply your worldly reasoning to this. You know, you can half it at work or kind of just be lazy at school and kind of do this and get good test scores and everything. But the Lord knows our hearts. It's all or nothing, brothers and sisters. The Lord says if you're lukewarm, he spits you out. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous lover who will not tolerate you having other lovers. He wants you to have... But here's the thing. If you dedicate yourself to him, he dedicates himself to you. And it's the greatest joy in the whole world. Really. And I'll end with this. How do we do it practically? St. Paul today, and Reader George read, one of the greatest epistles I love from Ephesians. He's begging them in the same way I'm begging you. He says, brethren, brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner, slave of Christ, I beg you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He's begging, and I'm begging you. Right? We're not making up anything new as priests. The same thing for 2,000 years. I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With what? How? Lowliness, meekness, with patience, forbearing one another, forgiving each other in love. Like I said to you earlier before the liturgy, not being upset when a kid cries, not being like, why don't my parents take care of their kids? Or parents not being like, oh, why can't people just not worry about my kids so much? Right? And not pulling your hair out, right? Loving each other, helping each other, right? Thinking that the Orthodox life is, St. Silouan said, my brother is my life. One elder said, you know why God put your eyes in the face in the place in your face where he did. You can see your own hands, you can see your own feet, but you can't see your own face. You can only see your face in the face of another. God made it that way. Our brother is our life. Whereas Western philosophers say, hell is the other person. That's the fallen world that we live in. Hell is the other person. It's someone else's fault. And with that mindset, it can drive you out of this community of love. I know we live in a serious community. I'm so thankful for you. And I love watching you grow. I love seeing so many of you come to confession. And I know we preach it and you're doing it and I'm proud of you. And my heart rejoices to see you repent and to be humble and to see your kids do it. And I know you're fasting more than ever and I'm so thankful. Please do it. But I want to tell you this. The key to actualizing that is a life in community. We're not Christians alone. We're two or three. We can't exist without the church. The church is the body of Christ. You can't do it on your own. We need each other. We need to be annoyed with each other. You need a priest in your face, and I need you to help me. We need each other. We need to be together and praying and having dinner together and forgiving each other and raising our children together and burying each other and marrying our children to each other. This is lost in our society. We just do our own thing. I wave to my neighbors, and they think I'm wearing a black dress. I acknowledge it's different. But I wave to my neighbors. They know me, and they still don't sometimes wave. We're so insulated. We're so afraid. You need to know that your salvation is bound up in that person. When you're in the grocery store and someone walks by you, how are you? God put that person there. When you come to this church, even the most, these are your dearest people to you. But they're going to share the same blood of Christ running through the vein, your same blood through your veins. And we're judging them. I would argue that keep fasting, keep praying, keep making your homes little churches, love this community, come to the services. But the actualizing drop, so to speak, I want us all to work on this fast is, I want you to love this community. I want you to be willing to go downstairs and have a cup of coffee with each other. I know it's crowded downstairs. I know it's chaos. But you do it because you love each other. Because you love new people that are coming. Because these are your eternal companions. That's what St. Justin would say. I greet you, my immortal brothers and sisters. We're going to be immortal with Christ and with the resurrected Christ. If we're going to spend eternity together, it might behoove us to get over each other's differences, right? Right? It might really do that. St. Paisio saw the story. One of the saints says, he was given a vision of two rooms. And he walked in one room, and everyone's miserable. And their eyes are drawn, and people are all starving. And he says, everyone, there's a food, table of plate of food in the middle, a bowl. And each person has these super long spoons attached to their hands. And they're so long that you can't put it to your own mouth. You can't do it. And so it goes into one room, and the food is everywhere, and there's blood everywhere, and everyone's beating the heck out of each other. And he goes into the next room, and everyone's joyful, and everyone's peaceful. Do you know why? What he saw? Each person was dipping from the table, from the food, and feeding the person across from them. Whereas in the first room, they were trying to take care of themselves, and they were so angry, and they were beating out each other, trying to take the other person's food. And they died. They died spiritually in their souls, trying to be self-sufficient. In that next room, they saw that if I don't feed my brother, I'm going to starve. They have to feed me too. Not just physically, not the homeless, but spiritually. We have to feed each other. If you despise each other, even further, if we don't really deeply love each other, all of our prayers and our fasting are worthless, brothers and sisters. So the Lord is doing amazing things in the midst of this broken world, in this Salt Lake City. You will see this new church built. I'm stopping at nothing. You will see it. You will see so many more souls come to this church. The glory, the liturgy, the glory, the life. But they might never get past the door if you don't show them love. Right? And if we show love, the devil will be thwarted. And so many more souls will find the salvation. And more we can welcome them. I welcome you, my immortal brethren. May God help us to ask this question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And how can I invite others into that path as well? Brothers and sisters, you are my life. Our brother is our life. May we be saved together in the church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.